B-Pod Studios.
Zolak and Bertrand are live on Radio Row on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Thanks again to Daniel Wallach, sports legal expert. Joining us here in the Apex Entertainment guest chair, Bert went to go get a cup of coffee. He thought we had kept Wallach an extra segment. So he'll be back in a few minutes. This hour of Radio Row coverage here on Zolak and Bertrand is brought to you by Eastern Standard Provisions Pretzels.
Could use some here.
Gonna get like that mustard sauce they have with it. Fabulous.
Horseradish. I like the little
Eastern Standard Provisions pretzels.
You like a grain mustard?
Check those out.
Like your mustards at home. Is it basic yellow mustard? Do you like a good grain mustard?
I mean, it depends. It depends on
it
the
really
food,
does.
Doesn't it?
If it's like a hot dog, I want yellow.
Yellow mustard. Just yellow mustard.
You get one of those fancy sandwiches with like a spicy pickle or some focaccia bread.
Now, if you're talking about one of those pretzels, one of those Eastern set. Now,
by the way, you can get those at esprovisions.com.
Yeah. That needs to be the grain. Like the
right.
Real nice. Real nice. It
gets stuck in your teeth.
No, it doesn't.
That's good.
Seeds.
Little seeds. Yeah, they do.
Wow.
All right, let's get to what Jimmy Garoppolo had to say last night. It was opening night, formerly known as Media Day in the NFL. So let's hear from Jimmy Garoppolo. A couple of questions. Jimmy Garoppolo asked where Tom Brady should play next year.
Where or who should Tom Brady play for if he leaves the Patriots?
Oh, wow. Just the luck of the draw on that one, huh?
I don't know. I haven't really put too much thought in. We've been wrapped up in all this stuff, but it'll be pretty interesting when all that all that happens.
When all that happens. Jimmy sound too concerned with what's up with Tom Brady?
I think Jimmy's playing it coy because they do have the same agent, Don Yee. So don't tell me Jimmy's not well informed, okay? Don Yee was there at the last game with Steve Dubin, his other agent.
I don't think having the same agent matters.
Because you guys talk, okay?
Yeah, if you're concerning yourself with calling your agent and gossiping all the time.
You come down and he's here, hey, get ready for the Super Bowl.
Breer and I share an agent. We don't sit there and know what each other's business is.
This guy.
Same thing.
Chatty
right?
Cathy.
Same thing.
Chatty Garoppolo.
How was dinner last night?
Dinner was great.
I was there. Phenomenal.
I'm unfortunate that you couldn't make it.
Maybe that's why we're in separate dinner groups, because he's telling us different things.
Probably.
Could be.
Possible, right?
Probably.
Could be.
I don't think it matters in this regard. I thought it was weird when they were both on the same team and there was the coach that
wanted. I don't think it's weird at all. Because you have the same agent, you're concerning yourself with what Brady's doing. I don't think that's true.
But when you back up a guy for 4 years and you're going to the freaking
When they were both playing for the Patriots, how does Don Yee lobby for both of his guys
Hardy.
To be
a starter? It doesn't work now. It works poorly. I know what you're saying.
Yeah,
here's the thing. That's not an issue, though. It's over with.
It's not now, but when the same guys are going for the same job on the same team.
I'm just talking about specifically
now. If I'm in two different teams,
why would he concern himself with Brady?
So, agent had Trent Green and those guys, and I would always say, okay, he blew out his knee. Like, where the hell's he going, Ralph? When I had Ralph Sidrich. Mm-hmm. You mean to tell me that Jimmy in his 20s doesn't pick up the phone? Like, he talks to Yee probably a lot. Like, wow, Tom really negotiated it. Does he really want out of there?
Well, here's the thing,
guys. You wouldn't have that conversation.
Those things always exist, though. Like, there was one point, and this is crazy.
I'm not saying they're going to go on record about it.
At one point, Jimmy Sexton had the GM, the head coach, and the quarterback of the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so these conflicts, it's like they're not. They exist everywhere because there's a small amount of agents that control basically everything in the NFL. And it's just the reality of it. And I know that we're hyper-focused on it because there was one guy who was representing both quarterbacks. But I guarantee, and I can't think of one offhand, but I guarantee you there are other situations across the NFL where there are two
Marvin
quarterbacks.
Marvin Dimon back in the day used to control all
the big
quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And then it was Steinberg and Dunn. Yeah. And then Dave Dunn took over.
Yep.
All right,
yeah.
Bert Breer is with us in the Apex Entertainment guest chair. We'll pick it up with him. More from Jimmy Garoppolo next on Zolak and Bertrand from Miami Beach.
Zolak and Bertrand are live.
Why is Capello yelling at Zoe?
I have no idea.
In the middle of a radio broadcast.
So he
and a television broadcast.
Why is Jordy telling him? What, Jim?
Sources are saying that the Mexico thing is not happening.
It's back on?
Or it's rubbish.
Yeah, we already reported that, but
what Mexico thing?
The show.
It was reported earlier today.
Second report now, Zoe.
That the Patriots and the Dolphins were going to play a game in Mexico next week.
Oh, right.
Piece of work right there. Who reported it?
Fox Sports Mexico.
Oh, okay.
It was a verified account.
Well, they haven't even, like, well, wait a minute. They got hacked, too.
If I'm not mistaken, they haven't even actually worked out the league hasn't worked out the deal with the government yet.
Right.
That's not even done yet. So they have to work the
if
league.
If they don't have a game there, then technically it isn't scheduled yet.
Well, there's no game to be had yet.
It could be.
It's going to happen, but until they get the deal done with the government, like, it's hard to. I mean, maybe they plan on putting two teams
there. It's such a nice stadium. I mean, like, why wouldn't
maybe it's
going to
be
there?
The Dolphins and Patriots down
did you have
the
bad
road,
experience
and the Patriots
stadium?
Don't even know
did
it
you have
yet.
Bad experience that
did I have a bad experience in that stadium? I got sunburned. The stadium, we called the game from out sitting on cement blocks in the middle of the stadium.
There was no food, no drinks, nothing.
We had no security around us.
That sounds like my hotel situation at the Super Bowl here.
Zoe just had a rough week in Mexico.
No, but the actual accommodations are fantastic. They put us at the Intercontinental and the other one. Right,
yeah, there's like a 10-block radius that's like awesome.
That
in
is gorgeous,
City, right? Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous. But yeah. You go outside that, it's problematic.
Yeah. Travel-wise, it's not that far, though. I mean, the actual flight.
Oh, no.
No, Mexico City's far. It's like 4 hours south of Dallas, isn't it?
We had to fly to Dallas and connect from Dallas and go into there.
It's like 4 hours south of Dallas,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
It's far from Dallas.
A four-hour flight from Dallas?
Yeah. And then a three-hour cab ride.
It's
because
like,
of the...
It's
the
not on the border. It's far down there.
It's up in the mountains, dude. Yeah. And the smog and the amount of traffic. You want to have fun? Land at the airport there and just walk around.
Yeah, it sounds like a ton of fun.
See if you get on.
Looks like Beatles having some fun on the internet over there.
Solak and Bertrand. yeah, I was just looking at the picture of Antonio Brown's arrest warrant. It came up. Burt Breer is with us in the Apex Entertainment guest chair here in the second hour, brought to you by Eastern Standard Provisions Pretzels. Now I forget what we were talking about because of this nonsense.
Bienvenidos al Estadio Azteca en la Ciudad de México.
Jimmy Garoppolo, the second part of what he had to say last night on opening night, also related to questions about Tom Brady. And even though it may seem like he's disinterested in what's going on with Tom Brady, the two are still communicating.
Has Tom Brady reached out to you and given you any kind of advice about this week?
Yeah, he shot me a text, just, you know, good luck and everything like that, and just go handle business. It wasn't too complicated or anything, just, you know, go win.
Very simple, very dry.
I bet there's a couple emojis in there.
We're not that good of friends.
Jim, you think he gave an emoji?
Go win the game, Jimmy.
I think he said, keep going.
Keep going.
As my friend Stedman once told me, keep going.
Yeah, keep going.
World.
Jimmy, keep going.
That's like keep going, world.
You know what though? Like that's like Brady's like when the Kobe thing happened over the weekend. I like sort of thought about how like that's a dying breed of athlete that like Brady like Kobe viewed everyone as competition, and so sometimes he rubbed teammates the wrong way. And Jordan was the same way, right? Like Jordan,
yeah.
His expectations for teammates were so high, and he was like, and there was like this insecurity about those guys that's like. It's like a little bit like someone's coming for my job, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure nobody ever takes it.
Well, it's the demanding.
And that's what existed between – it was pretty simple what existed between Brady and Garoppolo, right? Like it's just,
yeah. No, I mean, real. There's friction there.
Brady wasn't going to let Garoppolo do what he did to Bledsoe.
I think in a twisted way, Brady is extremely complimentary and grateful that they got Jimmy because I think it rejuvenated Tom. But it made Tom work his ass off even more to where I'm going to prove them even wrong more. I'm going to beat time with all that stuff. When they mentioned his time, you know, his age, his contract status. They even brought up who's the other quarterback was here at the time?
Was it Hoyer?
No.
Oh, at the time?
It was Mallett.
Mallett. Yeah. Right. We know Ryan situation, all that stuff. And, I mean – one guy plays. That's the toughest thing about that.
Yeah.
But from the Kobe standpoint, those guys are cutthroat and demanding to play with.
Yep.
From a work ethic standpoint. That's why Brady, I think, gets frustrated. Play fast. The guys, come on. We need you to come out of your break here. The precision of it. Like, there aren't many of those
guys. That's a rare breed. I don't know.
like I sort of wonder in like the AAU age of athletes, right, where the stars are all friends with each other and know each other from the recruiting circuit and everything else. Like, I sort of wonder if that rare breed, like the Kobe, Jordan, Brady, like slash your throat.
Tiger.
I don't care what it takes, Tiger. Like, I don't care what it takes. You're going to be on the ground at the end of this.
That's true.
Like, if that's going to exist anymore, because can you think of a young athlete who's like that?
No.
I can't.
It's Jordan, Brady, Kobe, Tiger.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, like, if you want to go further back, I think Larry Bird was that way.
Yeah, like, but I mean,
Larry Bird was
a
killer. Like, he was,
but he would cut throat. But I don't know if he was, from a work ethic standpoint, Larry was like that. As far as in the gym, you know, the diet, the training,
yeah,
taking care of the back,
yeah. That's
different age, yeah.
Different day and time, different doctors available, different medicines.
Yeah,
yeah. How about a boxer like a Mayweather? Would you put Mayweather in that category? I'm trying to think. There's maybe only
Bonds.
Five guys like that.
Bonds. Because I think Bonds, there was the same like sort of insecurity. And
was
like,
he a maniac like those
I think
guys?
So, yeah. Because like, I look at it like he was great, right, to begin with. He's a son of an athlete like Kobe was. And with Bonds, it was like the thing that pushed him to do everything that he did at the end of his career, like just become a science experiment, right?
Yeah.
Was because, well, if I have to, I will do whatever it takes. And so if I have to do that, to show everybody what a fraud Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa is, then I'm going to do it. And so I think he was sort of that way too, you know? But there aren't very many, like, I can't think of an athlete in his 20s where I would say, that's the descendant of Kobe Bryant. That's the descendant of Tom Brady.
Okay, so Brady sends them that text. Do what you got to do. Take care of business. Just go win it. Does he really mean it? See, it's nice to compliment the guy and say, hey, I'm thinking of you. Good luck.
So on one
but
end,
deep down, do you really want him?
On one end, I would think it would almost burnish Brady's legacy to another level if you beat out like a Super Bowl winning quarterback, right? Like, I think it actually,
okay.
I think it actually helps. I think it helps the legacy of everybody in the Patriots organization if Garoppolo wins, because it makes Bill look better for having found a quarterback who's capable of that. It makes Josh look better for having developed a quarterback who's capable of that. And it makes Tom look better for having held off a guy with that sort of ability for 4 years. I think it makes, now I don't know if they'll, I can't say whether or not they'll process it that way, because I'm sure there'll be different feelings that they're all if say the Niners are up, you know, 35-14 in the fourth quarter, which I think is on the table in the fourth quarter, right? Like, how does Brady process it when he's watching that? How does Belichick process it? I can't say how they'll process it, but I do think that they're, if you look at it, it makes them all look good, just in different ways. Even the Crafts, like the stability of the franchise, like what you've built here supported the development of somebody who's capable of this. I think it makes everybody look good.
All right, I want to get your thoughts on the game itself, Bird, and also the latest on Tom Brady. That saga continues. There's more news on that.
Buckle up.
Today.
We got like 2 months of this to go.
We'll get to that coming up with Bert Breer in our Apex Entertainment guest chair. All of that after headlines with Artie.
Zolak and Bertrand are live from the Miami Convention Center on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now, he's been linked already to the Chargers.
Really?
To L.A.
Right.
Do you think that would be a good fit?
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, it's a business. Things could happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're from Long Beach. And they're right down the road. I mean, is L.A. a good look for Tom?
I mean, he's lived in L.A. before, you know, and it's a good football team. You know, like, the business side of it, too. You got to sell jerseys. You got to fill up seats. You got a new stadium to move into. I wouldn't count anything out, but, you know, Tom's calculated. He's smart. He's not emotional. He won't make, you know, decisions based on certain things. He's going to do what's best for him and his family. And at the end of the day, if it's not in New England, if it's, you know, here, with the Chargers, if it's somewhere else, he's going to do what's best for him.
Can you blow my whistle, baby? Whistle, baby, let me know. Girl, I'm going to show you how to do it.
With us for the hour in the Apex Entertainment guest chair, that's Willie McGinnis, changing his tune a little bit, not ruling anything out when it comes to the Chargers and Tom Brady, whereas a month ago he was saying, Giselle, she doesn't like L.A., not really her kind of town, not her spot. So now it feels like, with at least in Willie's mind, things are more open.
I just...
More possibilities for Tom Brady.
Guys,
let me start with this.
Yep.
Is Philip Rivers in or out with the Chargers. It feels like he's out. Jay Glazer says he's done there.
Well, Jay didn't exactly. So I actually talked to Jay about that.
Okay,
like, Jay
right.
didn't. Jay said to me that he didn't like really say that. Like it was like more kind of like a stream of like, hey, this is happening here, this is happening there, and kind of went through it. And somebody cherry picked what he said out of that stream of like this, 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 and this. He's like, I didn't say they might made a final decision. Now we all know what it is. They were. I mean, guys, they discussed benching Rivers. Like at the beginning of December. So is it does that make it less likely that they're going to put a $27 million franchise tag on him? Yes. But I talked to people in Chargers organization last night after that got out there, and they said, we haven't even really sat down and discussed our plan for 2020 okay. in depth
well,
yet.
What are they waiting for?
And that's going to happen. That's happening. That's going to happen. But usually that stuff happens after the college All-Star games. The Senior Bowl was just on Saturday. So the scouts, like all the scouts are on the road yeah. for almost the entire month of January. Everybody comes back in-house. And so maybe Tom Telesco.
You don't need your scouts to figure out if Philip Rivers is
no, but right. that's when you start discussing the plan. For, no, I know what you're saying.
So is this yeah. going to be a money thing for them, or is this like, hey, he can't function? It's a functionality.
No,
thing,
this is a.
I don't see a big drop in play with him.
Because here's the thing with Rivers, right? So like, and I think he can still play. $27 million for one player is a lot, of course, right?
Yeah.
And that's what the franchise tag is. And, guys, the Bucs have to make a decision on Jameis the same way. The Titans have to make a decision on Ryan Tannehill the same way because that's a lot of money for all those guys, right?
Yeah.
But at the very least, if you tag them, it, like, buys you a year to find a long-term answer at the position, right? So that's sort of the thing is, like, if you don't tag them and you let them go to the market, now all of a sudden you're left without a starting quarterback. And depending on your situation, like, there are some people who have their jobs on the line in Tampa. Like, the Titans roster is built very much to win right now. Same with the Chargers. Like, that's a tough thing to do. You know what I mean? Just pull the ripcord and say, okay, we're willing to go into free agency with no starting quarterback. Because in each of those places, like, in Tennessee, Mariota's a free agent. Tannehill's a free agent. In Tampa, Winston's a free agent. Ryan Griffin would be their starter. In LA, I believe
who's
it would be
Ryan
I believe
Griffin?
It'd be Tyrod Taylor, right?
Who's
yeah,
Ryan Griffin?
I mean that's the thing. Like, so
wow.
for each of these teams, it's like, yes, it's a lot of money to tag your guy, but if you do tag him, you at least buy yourself a year
right.
to figure it out.
Yeah,
you know, and that's sort of the position the Chargers are in right now. If those teams, I'll tell you this, like the critical period here, that like for all these quarterbacks is February 25th to March 10th. That's the period to tag guys. If you get to March 10th and Rivers isn't tagged. And Tannehill's not tagged, it is freaking on.
Dude, man. It is. Those 2 weeks have been the dead zone, literally, for sports radio because you're getting in
yeah.
to spring training. March Madness is not here yet. And that legal I hate how they term it, legal tampering. Tampering
yeah, it's just the contact period.
I know.
Whatever, yeah.
But like most of those deals get done. You know, all those yeah. big deals get done then. But that 2 weeks is going to be the most entertaining 2 weeks. How long have we been doing this? 10, 11 years?
Yeah.
I oh, this is it.
15, 16. This is the biggest end of February buzz that you're going to have in our business. That
you think about, like,
I can't recall it.
It's Brady, right? So it's Brady. Breeze has to make a decision on what he's doing. Rivers, like what are the Chargers going to do about Rivers? You've got the Titans.
Titans are in the AFC title game.
The Titans are in the AFC title game. They've got the question. What are they doing? They have like the Titans do not have a quarterback under contract.
They're going to go Tannehill. They got to.
I think they
Tannehill.
Probably have to. Yeah, I mean, like, and again, that's a lot of money for Tannehill.
But you figure it out. Tag him.
Unless,
and you figure it out.
Unless you get to the combine.
Yeah.
And you quietly talk with Don Yee, and you say, "Are we going to be in it?" And if it's a no, if it's a no, Tom's going back to New England. Then you tag Tannehill. If it's a yes, then you say, "You know what, Ryan?"
Would he tell them?
I mean, I those sorts of discussions happen at the combine, yes.
Okay, so
I think the Titans, to me, like, guys, the Titans make a lot of sense. Like, I look at it, and I take what Willie said there, right?
Yep.
What do you say, family, right?
Right.
Brady's family is putting down roots in New York, all right?
Right.
Nashville makes sense.
Why?
It's an hour flight. If you're flying private, that's an hour flight.
Really?
Yeah. It's like an hour and a half flight. It's nothing. Going from New York to Nashville, right? And don't you think Nashville would approve? Like here's the other thing.
Versus a three, you know, 2.5 hour, 3 hour drive.
And here's the other thing. Yeah. And
how about Foxborough?
Yep. Nashville too.
Private flight.
Don't you think Nashville would appeal to Giselle a little bit?
up and coming. It's like there's a lot of like there's a lot going on there.
It's got a little flair to it.
It's got a little bit. Got, it's I, like it's like one of these places.
Friend,
it's like
her one of her really good friends lives there.
It's a cool city.
Did you know this?
It's a cool place. Jay Cutler lives there now. Kristen Cavalieri.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, that would be great. They could have them as friends.
Yeah, they can hang out with them.
What is the name of the model who lives there? That is Giselle's friend. This is gonna drive me crazy.
Fabio.
No.
Cannot believe it's not Bader.
Kathy Ireland.
And tell me Mike Vrabel couldn't appeal to...
Twiggy?
Okay.
Seal.
Hey, tell me Mike Vrabel couldn't appeal to Brady. And Vrabel just sits there, really good friends, right? Those two are close, right?
They can mother
sits across the table from Brady and says, you want to shove it up, Bills? I'll help you do that.
What a dick.
I'll Nikki help
Taylor.
You do that.
That's what, Nikki Taylor is Giselle's...
Nikki Taylor?
Nikki Taylor lives BFF? In Nashville. Yes. And here's her tweet. Nikki Taylor's tweet, happy birthday at Giselle Official. You're an amazing mom, wife, businesswoman, and supermodel. Happy birthday. And it's a picture of the two of them. And that was back in July. Or July of 17.
I can't see it. Like, is that retweet in Spanish, in a Portuguese down there?
What?
If, look. Retweets.
Oh, yeah. It is. Look at that. Yeah.
They'd have to change their uniforms if they get Brady. You can't put Brady in that stupid uniform.
The Titans uniform?
Horrendous. No stripes on the pants. Got those crooked numbers.
Doesn't it make sense?
That helmet does, with a stupid gray face mask.
Doesn't it make sense though?
It's like silver. Like, it makes total sense.
I mean, like I look at it. You've got a young offensive coordinator who's just in his first year, so he's not going to be married to his system. He's going to be willing maybe to change some things for you.
Vrabel got you to that game. We're close, and then like we could be Andy Reid next year.
Adam Humphries can be your Edelman. Right, then you've got Corey Davis and A.J. Brown on the outside.
Oh.
You've got a really good tight end in Jonnu Smith.
Oh, man.
You got two first-round picks at tackle.
What do you got to pay Derrick Henry?
I mean, if you bring in Brady, I think you pay Derrick Henry because that's part of the freight we're all in for right now, right?
Oh.
You tag Henry.
Okay. That makes sense. So and then you figure it out with him long-term.
I mean, that's the one that makes the most sense to me. Because he's putting down roots in New York. We keep hearing about his family being important. I do think it's important. I do think he'd prefer to be closer to where his family's going to be long-term. That's New York. So Nashville's a lot closer than Vegas or L.A. His buddy is the head coach. Like, he'll be able to, like they'll be able to work something out where he can play by his rules to some degree, right? That one makes the most sense to me, if he's going to leave. And I don't know that, like, when it comes to make that decision that he's going to have the stomach to do it. But I think that would be a place he'd be awfully comfortable.
We'll talk about Super Bowl 54, the game itself, coming up on Sunday with Burt Breer. We'll do that coming up next. Coming up at noontime, Hall of Famer Rod Woodson will join us here on Radio Row.
Zolak and Bertrand are live on Radio Row on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hail! Hail to the king of the Chiefs kingdom forever! Because today, the team that Lamar Hunt founded has just won Lamar Hunt's trophy. Kansas City is the AFC champion. They are headed to Miami for Super Bowl 54.
Feel super, baby!
Right,
the five-time Super Bowl champions are going back to Miami. They have won two Super Bowls, and they're looking for number six.
Bringing the heat. Can y'all feel that? Can y'all feel that? Jig it out. Here I am in the place where I come let go.
Super Bowl 54, Sunday night. At Hard Rock Stadium. Bert, you were at opening night last night.
Yep.
It seemed to me, just from watching some of the highlights of the coverage, that the players who are here are all very excited to be here. There are a lot of guys who haven't played in the Super Bowl that are going to be playing in this game.
Yeah, and it's weird because like there's always been, at least over the last few years, I really going back almost like a half decade, there's always been one team that had been here, right? It was the Patriots a bunch of times. The Broncos, when they were here in 15, they had been there 2 years earlier in New York. And so it was always that at least one of the teams, this was old hat for them. And so, yeah, I definitely, you sort of sense like being on the floor there last night that there was this newness to the whole thing for everyone.
There's the newness, and there's obviously newness for Jimmy Garoppolo now starting in the game. He's been to the Super Bowl before, but as a backup. My take on this game has
passed
been
John Elway in the Super Bowl wins list.
Yeah. has been that Jimmy G can sort of be the guy that the 49ers rely on to try and win the game.
Yeah.
Like, it's sort of going to be put in his hands in this game.
And I think what's so interesting, like, he's taken a lot of shots for – here's the thing. He's taken a lot of shots for, like, not playing a bigger role the last 2 weeks, right?
Right.
Do you know how close the Niners were to being undefeated this year?
They were Baltimore close.
The Baltimore Seahawks was in overtime. Yep. Falcons was on the review at the very end of the game.
Oh my God.
They were that close to being 16-0. Like, it's not like this guy's laid an egg somewhere and they got blown out, right?
Well, no, but, I mean, to say that he hasn't really participated and gotten the team here is not incorrect.
What
it's
I'm saying
is... not necessarily
is,
a shot.
But you know where it is? It's Brady 01-04. It's Russell Wilson in 2013 and 14. Like, that's what it is.
Okay.
Right? And that's, like, I think that's a smart way to develop a quarterback, right? Like, you bring him in. You're not putting the world on his shoulders right away.
Yeah.
You just, you slowly ask a little more, a little more. And eventually you get to the point where he can carry you through a season. They're 3-0 when he's throwing for over 300 yards this year. Right. There hasn't been a game where he's throwing for 300 yards, and they're like, you know, like
it wasn't. They weren't comeback games to where.
Yeah, I mean,
okay. I just don't know why it's a slight to admit the obvious.
I don't think it's a slight. No,
he's not been a big part of why they're here
because we don't know.
But like
we don't know how, and that's fair, right? But to say he's not good, because
I haven't said that.
Jameis Winston,
I'm not saying you have, but I've heard some of that.
Jameis Winston has got 5,000 plus yards, but he's got junk yards because they're always down in games and are trying to get chunks at the end of them.
Right. Like the 300 yard games, he had three 300 yard games. They were all relatively close. The Niners won.
All right. So here's the question, though: Did Kyle
including
Shanahan,
the New Orleans game?
Did Kyle Shanahan take the ball out of Jimmy Garoppolo's hands to make sure that they were going to win the game, or was it just game plan specific
It
was better to run the ball?
So the first, all right. So here's what I tell you:
the throws were behind the line of scrimmage and within 5 yards.
I've got fairly intimate knowledge of like both game plans, and like the game plan against Minnesota, the plan was we're going to run the ball right down their throat. They are too aggressive with their defense in front. We're going to catch them, and we're going to continue to ride our running game and stick with it throughout, no matter what. Their plan going into Green Bay, we're going to have to be more balanced against the Packers, right? And then in the beginning of the second quarter, they ripped off chunks. There was like a series of three plays where it was like 9 yards, 12 yards, 9 yards. And that's where Kyle made the decision. All right, now we're like we don't need to throw it anymore. And then they get up 27-0. They start managing it differently. I mean, Kyle manages the game like Belichick. Like, Kyle doesn't manage the game to be balanced. Kyle manages it to win the game.
He was good after the game because he said, you know, they said, why did Kim Ringo? Because it was working.
It's working, right. Like,
and I wonder how much influence his dad, too, plus the shock of, crap, I was down. I mean, I was up 25 points and I blew it because I tried to throw the ball a little bit.
Yeah.
And if we're working and we're running the football and it's chewing clock, I'm not going to screw it up like I did before.
Yeah. So
he had that hanging over him, too.
He manages.
But think about being Spagnuolo in this game. What are you planning for? Are you planning for them to try and run this guy most starts?
No, you're planning. Hey, look.
Or
this is the way
Jimmy has the ability to put 400 on. Here's the 400 yards on the board.
The biggest difference,
and it's hard to game plan for that.
I think the biggest difference between these two teams. One team needs its quarterback to throw for 300 yards. The other team doesn't.
Chief.
And normally the team that doesn't need its quarterback to throw for 300 yards wins in this sort of setting. It's why the Patriots and Brady beat Manning and the Colts all those years. It's a huge reason why. Because they did not need Brady to be great. Like, they need Brady to be really good, but they didn't always need Brady to be great.
You just described the AFC title game last year.
Right.
Yeah, and you play keep away from Mahomes.
Right.
Mahomes has got to make chunk plays. He's got to run around.
And
he's got to do shots. Can they keep him in the pocket, Bosa and company? Because if they can keep
him
in the pocket, they
win. If I'm the Niners, you know what I do? I say, we're coming after your quarterback. We're hitting your quarterback. We're going to drop guys in coverage. We don't care about your run game. If I'm the Niners, and I think you'll see this from Robert Saleh.
It's a big game.
I think you'll see this from Saleh. I think they're going to dare Andy Reid to run the ball. And they're going to say, we don't think you'll stick to it.
He won't.
And show me that you'll stick to it. And we're going to come after your quarterback. We're going to hit your quarterback because we've got these D linemen. And we're going to play coverage. We're going to do everything to stop your passing game. If you want to run the ball, God bless you. We do not believe you'll stick to your running game. And I'm not sure Andy Reid will. Because, the biggest difference between the two coaches, I think Andy Reid's like elite in almost every area except game management, right? I think Kyle Shanahan's a significantly better game manager than Andy Reid is, and I think he'll be less married to doing things one way. And I really feel strongly about this. Like, one quarterback has to throw for 300 yards because of the style of team that is. The other team doesn't, and generally, the team that doesn't need its quarterback to walk on water in the Super Bowl is the one that wins.
Yeah, I think that's generally true. One thing we did talk about was what DVOA would tell you, which sort of goes against that conventional wisdom that I'm with you on. Like, usually if you have the defense, you don't need the offense to the degree another team does. You win those games.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be easy, though.
No, because Mahomes is ridiculous.
Right. I mean, you like, what did you mention earlier? That it could be a runaway, though? Was that?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think this could be the Packers game again.
I don't know. I find that hard to believe.
Wait a minute. Was San Fran getting up big like that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
I just think they're...
That'd be a big upset.
I mean... I think this is another tough...
Not a big upset, but it would be surprising.
Not a big upset, but
it'd be surprising if
blow that team's doors off would be surprising.
It'd be surprising if Kansas City couldn't answer.
Can't hang.
Yeah.
Right.
They can score so quickly.
I wouldn't be surprised if either team went out there and scored a bunch. I would expect...
So here's what... But here's where I have faith in them, right? Like, here's where I have faith in what the Niners are doing, is that... did happen. Like, when that did happen, when they did get up on the Packers 27-0, right? Look at the way they managed the second half of that game. They weren't concerned with making it 51-0. They were just worried about getting out of there with a win. And the reason the score wound up the final score wound up much closer was because the way that Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh and all those guys were managing it were, you know what, if you want to take 5 or 6 yards of play, fine. You know, we're just trying to get to the end of the game. And we're playing for the end of the game. And I just think that that game management element of it in this matchup, because I do think that Mahomes is capable of carrying the team. There's no question about that. But I do think that game management element of it will allow them, if they get out in front, to win the game that way.
All right, Bert, maybe we'll catch up later in the week.
You got it.
We'll see you around. Bert Breer of the MMQB with us in the Apex Entertainment guest chair. We'll get to headlines with Hardy. Rod Woodson scheduled to join us momentarily.